Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Neutrality has been a long-standing position of Irish foreign policy, but is it simply performative? When it comes to the war in Gaza, Ireland has recognised the state of Palestine, and yet the Occupied Territories Bill has yet to be passed. And the Taoiseach recently signalled that it will be unlikely to include services, but is that to appease US companies based here? I'm joined now in studio by Colin Sheridan, an Irish Examiner journalist and a former UN peacekeeper, and on the line by Dan Mulhall, a former Irish diplomat. He was ambassador to the US, to the UK, to Germany and Malaysia. Good morning and welcome to you both. Now, Colin,
morning, Pat.
We'll go to you first of all, because you've been commenting in a column on a report called The Price of Prosperity, How US FDI, Foreign Direct Investment, is Enabling Genocide in Gaza and Eroding Our Neutrality. And you commented quite explicitly on this. You say that the FDI nationalism is a faith as devout as any religion. Explain.
Thank you, Pat. Well, first of all, I think an awful lot of credit goes to Patrick Bresnahan, Pat Brody and Paulie Doyle for authoring this 25,000-word report. And in commenting on it last week, I think I'm just building on an awful lot of commentary that has been widely available and circulated, especially in the context of what's unfolding in Gaza for the last 2 years. But just to, yes, to explain on that that notion about FDI nationalism, it is, and it's laid bare in the report, but it outlines, you know, in very explicit terms that Ireland is, in fact, the second largest importer of Israeli goods globally in the world. And so something even to take the Occupied Territories Bill, which is on the table for the last 7 years and predates the unfolding genocide in Gaza. You know, this has been long in the making. Our relationship, our economic relationship with Israel has been long in the making. Israel has been evolving itself into an apartheid state, as all these crimes have been, you know, human rights violations, etc., have been happening against the Palestinian people. So this is not something that has happened overnight. You don't just become the second largest importer of Israeli goods and services.
So what are we importing? Because it's in a particular sector, is it not?
It is. Well, it crosses an awful lot. And again, it speaks against the Occupied Territories Bill, where this issue of services has often been highlighted, and what services are, goods and services are. But what goods and services effectively mean, it's kind of the soft money that passes through Irish financial airspace, if you will. So it's not that we're importing oranges from Israel and consuming them on some massive level. It's the soft services. It's technological services. It's money passing through the Irish financial sector that we then benefit from in corporation tax and tax windfalls from those corporations that are operating here.
Now, people might find it a struggle to understand exactly what you mean. I mean, are you talking about the big multinationals, the Americans that are here, and money somehow is passing through their accounts here that is in some way funding genocide in Israel? I'm trying to make that connection.
Well, in trade and law, services typically refers to intangible economic activities, like anywhere where value is provided without a physical product being transferred. So in that context, it could include, for example, tourism services, organizing or promoting tour and settlements in the occupied territories, financial services, investments, insurance or brokerage related to settlement enterprises, or construction or consulting, engineering, IT, digital services, software, website hosting, all of those elements. So it covers multitudes, and it is quite broad, and it is a phraseology, I think, that catches an awful lot of people out.
So I'm just wondering, therefore, what are we to do to divest ourselves of all of this? What would we need to do? Would we need to, you know, stop stuff coming in from Israel or through even third, fourth, fifth parties and ending up in an Irish data center?
Well, you know, one place where they could start, again, is with the Occupied Territories Bill, which has been tabled for the last 7 years, predates the genocide in Gaza. I would argue that the Occupied Territories Bill, which others would say, and they would correctly say, may have very little material benefit because the size of that investment coming in is so small, because it only refers to the occupied territories. But given everything that has unfolded in the last 2 years, that we should be looking to divest ourselves and move away from having economic ties with Israel as it continues to perpetuate a genocide in Gaza.
Now, the genocide, of course, is the latest, if you like, affront to humanity, which we've all observed over the last couple of years. But it's very hard to find anyone to do business with if you start taking the line. I mean, do you do business with China because of human rights abuses in China?
Well,
do you trade with China? Do you trade with the UK, which is providing armaments to Israel? Do you trade with France? Where do you stop and where do you start?
Absolutely, Pat. I agree with the point you're making. And again, I think given our trade with the US, which is to me hugely problematic as well. But I think where you should start is having a vision, an economic vision, where you're building over decades a way of being more self-sustaining as a country and more discerning maybe in who you choose to do business with. And if that makes us economically a poorer country, then certainly being complicit in human rights abuses, and in this case, genocide, is a price we should be willing to pay.
So we could choose, for example, unemployment and poverty on a point of principle. That's effectively it.
Well, if you want to go that far with it, I would say yes. But we should also, as a, quite a prosperous country on the back of this, be choosing and looking to, yes, like I said, have a better vision on how we want to move forward economically.
Okay. Dan Mulhall, what is your response to that?
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Well, look, I haven't read the 200-page report that Colin referred to. I've read the summary of it online. I think it's pointing to an ideal world which doesn't exist. Unfortunately, we have to live in the world that does exist. And the trade between Ireland and Israel is mainly, I think, trade between, either in goods or services, between multinationals based in Israel and multinationals based in Ireland. We have very limited, if any, control over those companies. We could, of course, tell them they're not welcome in Ireland. We could tell them to, to move out, and we could. But that would mean the loss of, I think, American companies at the moment account for a couple of 100,000 jobs directly in Ireland, and hundreds of thousands more jobs indirectly. So, this is a very radical proposition. The reality is that the era of globalization is in retreat. We are likely to become less dependent on the United States for trade and investment purposes in the coming years because of international developments. So my view is that the best prospect for the Palestinians having a better future is through the current ceasefire, which we hope will turn into a peace process. And I think we should be putting all of our efforts in through the European Union into supporting that process rather than trying to envisage an ideal world that probably we have no capacity as a small country to bring into being. The reality is, for a small country, we have to do what we can to make the world a better place, but we must do what we must to survive in a difficult world that's not favorably disposed towards small countries. We have to work hard to protect our interests and to ensure we don't become victims of international developments that are not within our ability to control.
Colin?
Well, we, like Dan originally pointed out in his comment, we do have a choice. We do have a choice in hosting them here. We do have a choice in the level of tax we apply to them operating here. And of course, everybody is very well aware of the benefits that the economy and our workforce has enjoyed from that. But again, it comes back, like, the way I look at it is, if a country other than Israel will say, if Libya, for instance, if we were the second largest importer of Libyan oil in the world, and they were committing a genocide for the last 2 years, and they had killed up to 100,000 men, women and children, white Christian men, women and children, would we still be the second largest importer of Libyan oil? Would we divest? Would we sanction them? Would we seek to ensure that we had nothing to do with a country like that, because it does not align with our moral conscience as a country? And I know to an awful lot of people that sounds like a very simplistic take, but I would argue that, like, we're a very young country ourselves, for a very good reason. We're a very young country ourselves, and if we're to just wipe the slate clean for everything that has happened over the last 2 years and the decades before that that brought Israel to the point of being a state, an apartheid state that we were still dealing with long before the genocide, then we don't set a very good standard for how we're going to operate going forward, and we would find ourselves decade after decade going deeper into this hole of complicity, as I see it.
Dan?
Well, look, I mean, we haven't been silent witnesses to all this process. We actually were one of the early movers within the European Union in recognizing the state of Palestine. That was a brave move that we made there a couple of years ago. We have been very staunch critics of Israel. We have pressed within the European Union, where we have most of our influence and power, for the EU to take action against Israel. And there was a proposal there recently from the Commission to look again at the EU-Israel trade agreement and to potentially take action against Israel. And that was dropped once the ceasefire proposal came onto the table, because the view in Brussels was that that was really, you know, the only game in town at this stage. And my hope would be that we can continue to diversify our economy, but the idea that we can completely turn our backs on the United States, I mean, when Colin talks about these companies and so forth, we're talking about 200,000 families who are gaining a living from those companies. When you talk about tax revenue, that tax revenue goes to pay for pensions, for social security, for healthcare, for education. Are we supposed to turn ourselves into a kind of a hair shirt country on the basis of, look, conscience shouldn't make cowards of us, but conscience shouldn't make fools of us either. And we have to make a living as a country. We can't afford the luxury of pretending that the realities of life, and America is going to be the most powerful economy in the world for decades to come. In fact, America is getting stronger, if anything, because of its demographic situation, which is much more favorable than other countries around the developed world. So we're going to have to cope with the fact. And personally, I would prefer a world in which the United States was a more powerful influence than a world in which China and Russia were the dominant forces, because that would be a far worse outcome from an Irish point of view in the short and long term.
So, Colin, that idea that pragmatism really has to play its part, there are all sorts of uncomfortable relationships that countries get themselves into. I mean, you might argue that within the EU, because of, we are not members of NATO, but many of the EU countries are, and the two are divisible, we know. But, you know, looking at the activities of the United States and France in supporting the Israeli war effort, initially, that's been a bit mitigated now, but still it's there. I mean, should we not be members of the EU? You know, it's an uncomfortable situation.
It is an uncomfortable situation, and it's, I think, increasingly one that people should look at and ask themselves that. I mean, I can certainly personally see the benefits of us being part of an economic union within Europe. What I would, and I say this as a former member of the Defence Forces, as a former peacekeeper, what I would worry is, given how the EU has aligned itself again during the genocide, let's not forget that that's what it has been called now by the United Nations and by many, many other organisations in Palestine, in Gaza, that we might be moving away from the UN model. And obviously the UN, I would be the first to admit, has huge issues and problems, especially in its, when it comes to its peacekeeping operations. But moving away from that and moving closer to an EU military alliance, when again we may be looking at the leadership within the EU and the vested interests within the EU may not again be aligned with what many of us here in Ireland feel are our values. So we're certainly headed into murky waters, but we shouldn't also forget that while we have been militarily neutral for quite a long time, we, for instance, contributed to the mission in Afghanistan for 15 consecutive years. Okay, it was a small number of people, and that allowed it to circumvent the triple lock. But we did do that. Shannon Airport, I know that Drum has been beaten many, many times by many, and will continue to do so. So it's not like we have been strictly.
Don't forget the Russians also use Shannon Airport.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I wrote about that in the Examiner in the last few weeks that is something, but certainly in line with our more recent alignment with certain countries and nations, we have very much been neutral in favor of.
All right, final words to you, Dan.
Well, look, I mean, I am sympathetic, hugely sympathetic to the Palestinian cause. But the best prospect for Palestine is not through us passing the occupied territories bill, if we choose to do it. If we choose to do it, well and good. But the best hope for Palestine is that the vested interests of the Trump administration and the countries of the Arab world. And remember, we are talking about countries like Qatar, United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, who have accords with Israel. They're actually, doing business with Israel. And even during the assault on Gaza over the last 2 years, which has been appalling by any standard, that hasn't changed. Saudi Arabia may be about to do some kind of a deal with Israel, a similar arrangement. So, you know, the idea that we, as a country, relatively far away from these things, are supposed to put our heads on the chopping block when the countries of the area, including Muslim countries who have long historical relationships with the Palestinians, seems to me to be asking a bit too much of us, Given the fact that we have limited ability to influence things and we have a lot of interest at stake vis-a-vis our relationship with the United States, which will continue to be a pillar of our economic security for years and decades to come, it's probably going to reduce.
Final word from you, Colin. We're far away. Countries in the region are doing business with Israel, even though they despise perhaps what has happened in Gaza. They still maintain their diplomatic ties and their trading ties with Israel. So why should we put our heads on the chopping block and do ourselves harm if those countries close by are still prepared to do business?
Well, if we call the minimal impact of the Occupied Territories Bill and what that would do to our economy harm, then I feel that that has been...
You want more than that, though.
I do want more than that, but I think as a starting point, that would be go well beyond the performative politics that we've seen from our government. It seems to be applying some sort of Palestine exception in this case. So starting there would be a good start.
Colin Sheridan, Irish Examiner journalist, former UN peacekeeper, and Dan O'Hall, former Irish diplomat. Thank you both very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.